Thank you, Tom. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Population Health Evaluation Workgroup call. My name is Elisa Montali, and I'm with the National Quality Forum. And also joining me from NQF are my colleagues, Helen Bernstein, Reva Winkler, Karen Pace, and Kristen Chandler. Before I turn the call over to Paul Jarrett and to Sarah Samsel, I wanted to briefly go over the agenda for today and put them back to the next slide. Thank you. We'll just start off with a brief welcome just so that we can take a quick roll call. We will ask Paul Jarrett to recap the committee under discussions from, I think it was Monday, from the framework work group's discussion. And then we'll lead into our work today, which is going over the evaluation criteria, looking at provider-level measures and population-level measures, and to seeing if there are any special considerations that we need to keep in mind for population-level measures. After that, we'll look at a paired example of a provider-level and population-level measure, and then we'll open up the lines for NQF member and public comments, and then I'll briefly go over our next steps, and then we will adjourn for the day. So with that, I will turn it over to Paul.
Thank you. Welcome, everybody, and appreciate your time. It's everyone's giving quite a bit of effort and initiative to this, and I think it's a very important opportunity for us, certainly complex both conceptually and methodologically, because really NQF has not gone into the area of population health before, so we are trying to establish a beachhead and move in a new direction. So thanks again for everyone's work. The framework group met briefly on Friday and then talked again on Monday. And I think that there is an attempt by that group to come up with an understanding or a model, if you will, for how these measures could fit together from clinical measures through more population-based measures. So there's a conceptual way of looking at it for people. As often I think people in public health may not necessarily understand the clinical measures, and people in clinical care may not understand the need or the interventions in the public health, population health arena. So the group is looking at that. There was some question about really, again, returning to what is the scope of this committee and this group and the time frame. And I think that's something we'll work to clarify. My sense from that meeting on Monday was that there was a sense that let's put out a broader framework, and then as we clarify the scope of this meeting, we may have to narrow our work down, but at least we've established a broader framework for how public and clinical and public and population health can fit together, and establish the notion that improving the health of a population is something we should be working on beyond just clinical services and the health of a clinical population. So that work will be ongoing. I also want to say I appreciate the work you've been doing and we've been reviewing it, and want to say we very much need this group to go forward. It sounds as if as we continue to work on this, one of the first things we'll have to address is that the request or the call for measures that goes out. And it will be the work of this group and the measures group will be very important in informing that document as we develop it. And that'll be some real work we can do if the staff can mock up a document similar to the one that you've either reviewed or will review on this call regarding health disparities. It will allow the field to take a look and respond with measures that we can then evaluate to see how they fit within the overall framework we've set. So I'll stop there and turn it over to Sarah, and thank you, Sarah, for leading this.
Well, you're welcome. Elisa, did you have any other comments before we got started?
No. What we can do is pull up the documents for you on the screen, and I just wanted to make sure that everyone can see the screen at this point, because we'll be kind of going line by line, section by section, so it'll be helpful. These are the same documents that were sent to you on Monday by email, an email that you should have received from me. And so the first one we'll pull up will be that evaluation criteria.
Great. And kind of while that's coming up, just to set the stage, and this was in the email that went out on Monday, is I had a prep call with Elisa and Karen Pace and Kristen to kind of talk through what are the expectations of this work group. And for me, it's important when we kick off, this call, is to really think about what are the overarching questions and what is our goal. And so that went out on Monday, and really what helped me think through this is the question of, when reviewing this document that'll be on screen, what do the evaluation criteria for population health measures differ from patient health measures, and if so, how? And so in thinking back to our meeting, you know, there was a lot of discussion when we were reviewing measures about very specific items in a measure. And, you know, there has to be a differentiation between, is it really a difference in criteria that we were calling out, or is it a different level of understanding? And so, remember, when it's clinical measures and those patient-level or provider-level measures, the measure developers are used to those criteria. I mean, they know how to write these. They have, you know, measure developers have their own language. They understand each of these criteria. Well, for the most part, they understand them. And so really the question is, on the population health side, do those criteria really differ, or is it more of a language and a explanation type thing, or a broadening of the definition? So as we go through the criteria, that would be one thing that I would ask that everybody think about. And then in addition, if you recall at the meeting, a couple of other things popped up as special things that we want to pay special attention to. And so, as Elise already mentioned, looking at special populations and disparities, and when we get to that section of the criteria, you know, are there specific things we need to have in the criteria when considering the population health measures? Data sources, and do those differ for population health measures? And, you know, by data sources, you know, we're considering things like survey, claims-based data. You know, on the population health side, I think we're talking a lot more about registries and that type of data source. Looking at the reliability and validity requirements, should testing differ? Should, you know, there be different criteria for those options? Also looking at evidence, and the specific question that was brought out at our in-person meeting was how population health measures might be correlated to the outcome of interest. And as a reminder, the NQF criteria for outcomes measures differ and don't have the same standard of evidence base that's required for the for process or structure measures. So keeping that in mind as we look at population health measures. We had a lot of discussion at our meeting about accountability. And, you know, when we talk about clinical measures, accountability is typically at the provider level or the plan level or the hospital level. So how does that differ in a population health or public health sector when really, when you're taking care of an entire population of people, you know, there's more of a shared accountability. So does that change the criteria a little bit? And then finally, usability. And I know that Elisa in the email on Monday sent out the link to the task force draft report on changing those usability criteria. So just to keep those things in mind as we go through this. And Elisa, Karen, Helen, did I miss anything there?
Sounds great.
Okay, so on your screen, and depending on how you have your screen open, at least mine, there's a little button on the top right that you can put maximize, so if you're visually challenged, as I seem to be getting as I get older, you can actually blow up the screen a little bit. The criteria are up there, and these are the criteria that you saw when we were at our in-person meeting. They were also sent out on Monday, and Helen went through and made some updates to those criteria since our meeting, reflecting those things that we asked to be done, you know, things like change the terminology away from patients, because we're thinking about things differently in population health. So is anybody having problems pulling up the measure evaluation criteria on their screen?
Chris is trying to make it bigger for all of us.
Okay, so it just got small again, and I can't see again.
Page width works well, too. So.
Okay. So with that, did anybody have time to look through this and have any feedback or considerations regarding the first set, would be the considerations, the conditions for consideration? The NQF proposal is that there's really not a strong need for change for most of these criteria until you get down to the bottom, and that is, and we can't see the full page, but some discussion around harmonization and what that language looks like in the population health arena. So any reactions to what's been provided?
Yeah, this is Ron. I was looking at B, where you're saying no change, and in B it specifically refers to the rate of clinical intervention, and I'm not sure that the population measures will be clinical.
Good point. I missed that one, Ron. You're right. Thank you.
And then when we get down to E on the harmonization piece, I'm wondering why the same language that was added to the population one, that same language, shouldn't that also be in the other evaluation criteria?
About the concept of complementarity, Ron?
Right. So what, shouldn't it be on both?
Yeah, I know. It's actually interesting, and you can see my comment. I'm not sure that's the right word, but I was trying to get at the concept that I think Paul brought up at the meeting about not everything needs to be harmonized, but in some ways, because they are so different, they could give you a complementary view by having both of them. On the clinical side, to be honest, we really want them harmonized, they're best in class. We don't want to, complementary from where we sit would be different measures in a clinical phase. Karen, do you have a thought about that?
I mean, I think it's just to make it resonate with you. I mean, harmonization, depending on, what levels you're harmonizing, can be about complementary versus, exact specifications.
Right.
So it really depends on the measure and what levels you're looking at, what setting. So it's not that it's not part of our process. It's just, what language we use. So.
And if you can come up with better language, we'd love to hear it. I mean, we've talked about, there are times when the measures will cascade up and down, and that would be more harmonization, whereas I think sometimes there's measures that are truly very different, more community population-oriented, where harmonization doesn't make as much sense. They may both be on smoking, but they wouldn't necessarily harmonize, for example, if they're kind of different conceptually. I'm not sure that's clear, but we'd be happy to have
part of this is, what we've defined as harmonization and how we look at it is laid out in another document, and so it's quite detailed, which probably addresses some of your issues, but, we just are trying to make sure that we have additional notes for your issues with these measures.
Ron, I can't find what you were referring to. You said something about sort of the rates of services or something. Did I get that right? Your first point?
I think it's under
rate of clinical innovation.
Yeah, I
could. Right. On B, it's on the left-hand column.
Yep.
We could just say rate of
right.
innovation.
Right.
Innovation. Yeah. I forgot all the patients, but I forgot clinical sometimes. So.
Yeah.
And actually, some of the things that we will do is look at whether we want to go back and make any major evaluation criteria more generic. That just doesn't happen overnight. We have processes for changing the criteria, but, it's certainly something that we can, for example, removing
clinical makes a lot of sense for a lot of members.
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
Sarah, back to you.
Okay. Any other comments regarding, I think the challenge for folks would be if we don't like the, or if we think we need more clarity under E, then, if folks want to kind of wordsmith a little bit and then send suggestions in, NQF would be open to that. Okay. So that looks like we're done, then, unless any other comments on the first page. we move into the actual criteria for evaluation. And so on page 2, it starts with just the statement about what it means. And I personally didn't see any problem with that. And then moving on to impact, opportunity, evidence, importance to measure and report, as an outcome of our meeting, Helen's made some suggestions. And really, you know, and I remember from our meeting, this was, you know, kind of very clear recommendations that we change number 1 to focus more on both health and healthcare quality, to take it a little bit away from the clinical and make it broader, and adding the concept of determinants of health and health outcomes, and consideration of some of the variation, you know, may not be technically in the rates for a defined population, but could be in a it could be geographic. So any comments, concerns about 1?
This is Ron again. Just a suggestion is in the second line on the right-hand column where it says health and healthcare quality.
Yeah.
I'm thinking it should be or to be consistent lower on.
Good pickup. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay, so then under 1A, you know, high impact, which on the clinical side is defined as a specific national health goal priority identified by Department of Health and Human Services or the National Priorities Partnership. Is there some leeway on that one to add the National Prevention Strategy?
Absolutely. I think that would make a lot of sense in this context, yes.
And do we assume that Healthy People 2020 is an HHS priority? Is that meant to be encompassed in that?
No.
There's
very specific.
It's probably covered under the DHHS one, but we'll specifically make sure it includes the National Prevention Strategy as well. Good point.
You know, as Paul, as I read through this, the concept of health disparities is captured in places here, and one of the challenges, you know, do you put it everywhere or where do you put it?
Yeah.
But this 1A after or, where it says it demonstrates high impact aspect of health or health care, parentheses, large populations, a substantial impact for smaller populations, to me this would be another critical area to say, or is a sort of source of significant health disparities.
Okay, that's a great idea. Put it right up front. I like that. Great.
Other comments about that area before we move on?
Are we still in 1A?
Yep.
Okay.
Okay, let's go to 1B. And here we're talking about performance gap, and again, you know, the language that was dropped in would be health or healthcare quality. This is one place, Paul, where disparities was dropped in. Are there other considerations on performance gap for population health?
This is the area. Disparities has always been part of this particular criteria, so we are interested in looking at disparities.
Yep.
I think my only concern here, and I don't know how we deal with it, is the fact that, you know, when we're looking at clinical measures, we typically have a benchmark, and we're typically have something, you know, we're trying to get to 100% or 90% or whatever. And if we were talking about, you know, the measure that we talked about at the in-person meeting, which had to do with, now I'm blanking, it feels like Monday hour.
I think it was preventable mortality, wasn't it, Sarah?
Yeah. So, I mean, what is the performance gap? You know, what?
There's 4 barriers.
Right.
So typically,
when you're looking at performance gaps and opportunity for improvement, you look at variability across providers because that if that generally gives you an idea that if you have variability, some providers, or in this case, if we're talking about population health, some states or communities have better rates than others, then that gives you an idea that there's an opportunity for improvement. The other thing is to look at if there is overall concern about, you know, there may not be much variability, but there's concern that there's high mortality or whatever the particular issue is. But typically, you know, it's with outcome measures, you don't necessarily have a benchmark, and the idea is to look at variability and see where there are still opportunities for improvement.
Well, this is Sue. There are a couple ways to look at it, that, and tell me if I'm off base. One is looking at using a reference group if you're looking at disparities. Like, whoever is best as the reference group, then everyone else should aspire to be, to meet that reference group.
Right. It depends on if you're looking at, yes, if you're looking at disparities, that's absolutely what you're looking at, is what's the performance by the various population groups that you're looking at.
Okay. So then I think where where I'm getting hung up then is in kind of this part of the last sentence of, in the quality of care across providers in our population groups, where some of these measures may not be measuring quality of care.
Okay. Yes.
And then, you know, I wonder if we need to expand to also drop in something, population groups, and that, you know, if when we come up with the language around geographic and community.
Well, I think, you know, that's part of your, I mean, this obviously is just kind of explanatory notes of how this applies to population health, and you know, that's going to be kind of an overriding concept in terms of how you're defining population health and community, but, you know, obviously we can put that note in here that this applies to population health, and actually, we could just take out quality of care. So
yeah, that's what I was just trying to figure out.
But you know, there are aspects of quality of care that are very relevant to population health, and for example, rates of immunization, or reporting of reportable diseases, or you know, referring tuberculosis care for directly observed therapy, so that. You know, if the overall objective is a healthy population and a population free of health threats, there are specific clinical measures that integrate very well with that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you'll find the clinical sector setting a quality measure around the rate, the percentage of reporting of reportable diseases.
Yep.
But with population health and clinical medicine working together, that can hit the radar screen.
So is there another way to frame that then, Paul? So it's not just quality. So it sounds like there's a reason to consider quality of care, but it may not be just across providers, but is there a better term? Provider still seems very clinical-centric.
Well, it says across providers and our population groups.
Right, but the population groups just means it varies across the group. I think he's still saying there are some measures about reporting and immunization that are more central to those who provide public health, population health, that may be very different.
It's providers, health systems, and public health.
Aren't they providers?
And I wonder if, you know, in our conversations with LA, aren't they talking about, if I remember their definition, there was something about three levels, and I just wonder if that's the language incorporated.
That's from the NQF, National Priority Partnerships report to HHS on the National Healthcare Quality Strategy. It's always such a mouthful, in which one level was, and again, that was preventative. It was clinical preventative services. The second level was behavioral, both measuring both patient behavior and the public health aspects of creating an environment in which healthy choices can be made. And the third level was population, was a public policy and environmental change. So those were the three levels.
This is Dawn. Can I clarify that question?
Oh, please. Yes, thanks, Dawn.
So the idea that's coming out of the white paper is that to get a handle on defining different providers, that a really nice way of doing that would be to keep healthcare providers in the healthcare system, like to measure that level of provider, then to call the governmental public health system sort of the public health providers. We call them sort of practitioners, but we can call them providers. And then there's this third category that gets into the types of organizations that health departments commonly partner with in big coalitions and big, you know, health and all policies or determinants of health work that would be considered other. And so that could be transportation, you know, domain or education domain or social services domain. So it'd be helpful to keep those providers in those three categories.
This is Kurt. The other thing we want to think about is that part of the target for this is multi-stakeholder groups. And so if we're thinking about just public health providers or just clinical providers, we might be excluding measures that get others involved that are involved in the social determinants of health. So we might want to not over-define this with the word provider of any kind, because that really starts to limit the focus of the multi-stakeholder groups.
Right, and I guess, again, to clarify, all of those other stakeholders end up in their own category, which we can organize in a way that makes sense to the audience who will be using this. I'm not putting all those other providers as public health providers. But let us know sort of what word you want to use for those specific categories, and we're happy to work that in.
Sure.
That makes sense.
Very good. Okay. Sarah?
Okay, so if we're right, okay, so there's some work to do there, but if we move on to 1C and talking about evidence, and here is where, remember if it's an outcome measure, the evidence support might be a little bit different, but so the changes are in red, so health outcome, health determinants and our health outcomes in the population, to strategies to improve health or healthcare, so that's consistent with prior language. And then, you know, definitions of intermediate clinical outcome, process and structure, experience of care, where it was broadened and changed from patient. And Helen has a question there about should we also include something or should the language be more around access to care? And then the language for efficiency stays, this is proposed to stay the same.
Well, we should call the word clinical out of intermediate clinical outcome. Just have intermediate outcome.
Right.
Yep.
I just wasn't sure I could think of any, Paul, to be honest, but maybe I just don't know.
Well, I guess, Karen, that's my question is, how do you define health determinants, and do we really need to accept those from having evidence? Because aren't the reason that they're considered health determinants because they are linked to health outcomes? So are they more like, so what's an example of a health determinant? Is that more of a process, or is it an intermediate outcome? What's an example that you all are thinking of as health determinant?
First of all, I was just commenting the word clinical should come out of there. Intermediate outcome should still be there.
Yeah, that's fine.
But there are plenty of intermediate. I mean, it depends on what you want to consider. For example, having the tobacco taxes at a certain rate is an intermediate outcome, if you will, because it's been shown to decrease initiation of smoking and quitting of smoking. Clean indoor air laws, for example, are another example.
Those would really be kind of interventions, wouldn't they? Actions or interventions?
But the measurement of whether a community has those things?
Mm-hmm.
That would be a structural measure.
Well, a determinant whether or not somebody's smoking is, I mean, smoking itself is a determinant of health.
Okay.
Right? And so strategy is the tax or other intervention.
Right. So I don't think we'd want determinants with health outcomes saying that there should be no evidence that it is related to a health outcome, right?
I think there's lots of evidence if you look in the community.
Right. Right, and I lumped them together here, and I must admit I didn't think through the ramifications of by lumping it with health outcomes as sort of a pass on evidence. So I guess Karen's question here is, does that make sense that should health determinants be pulled out separately where there would be an expectation of a relationship to outcomes expected?
I have a general question about this whole section. It would seem like this is the place where the HHS quality, the aims, could be referenced. I mean, it would seem to me that the population interventions should at least consider the HHS aims.
Yeah, that's a good point, Ron. Because we don't do that anywhere else.
Right. Okay. It doesn't have to meet every one of them, but at least it should be considered, and one should address which aims the measure hits upon.
Right. Okay, so we'll see if we can work that. I mean, some of them, it's kind of a blend of content areas and strategies. I was actually just looking at it right before the call this morning. So let's see, we'll see if we can specifically reference it in a footnote in a And was it specifically around interventions, Ron? Is that what you were making the point?
Well, it strikes me that the aims should be explicit in here. They shouldn't even be footnoted. That we should know whether the measure is population centered, is it equitable, is it proactive, is it risk reducing, et cetera. That's something that I would think that the committee would wish to consider, and that the proposer of the measure would wish to address.
Okay, we'll figure out where best to put that, but I think that's a really good point. Thank you.
And Helen, this is Dawn. Can I clarify one or answer one question that someone had earlier about strategy versus provider-level measure?
Yes, please.
The types of measures that we have in LA, we consider those tobacco taxation measures, clean under air laws, we consider it a policy strategy, but we consider that a performance provider level measure for our health department so that we'd be working on that as our mission in the same sort of geopolitical area that a healthcare system would be working on getting tobacco cessation, ask, advise, refer with every inpatient in their hospital. So we would consider that complementary toward improving the determinant of health tobacco prevalence in our geopolitical jurisdiction.
Very helpful.
One thing that's important is to not limit it, though, to just public health or just clinician providers. For example, one determinant of health would be the percent of high school graduation. And so if you just limit it to public health and clinical providers, you will really limit the potential impact on multi-stakeholder groups that can really start looking at these trade-offs across different sectors.
Was that Kurt?
Yes.
Yeah.
Hi, Kurt. Just my response to that would be if we keep those three sort of categories of providers, we would add that probably in a population outcome at that level or however you guys would want to tie that in, and then we would assess that as a provider-level measure plus minus stakeholders in that other provider category.
I'm actually concerned about the word provider. It could have the unintended consequence of linking people in their heads too closely to healthcare.
Just for now, I'm using that, but we can change it. But I just want to assure you that we can add that in and measure it.
Great.
Can we go back and get some comments, other thoughts about health determinants, and does it stay under health outcome? I personally think it could come out. I agree that, there, when thinking about health determinants, there should be evidence that it contributes to a health outcome versus accepting it from needing that a different level of evidence.
Yep.
I guess I see what you wrote here as being parallel to what's over on the other side. Health outcomes harassment supports the relationship of health outcomes across the structure of care. Isn't this just the translation, the direct translation of that?
Yeah, I think the only issue, Paul, is I lumped in health outcomes / health determinant, which I didn't mean to do. I think the point we're just talking about is, yes, I think the health outcome now gets the same pass regardless as it does for regular measures, but that health determinant probably should be pulled out as a separate bullet where there is an expectation of evidence that it influences the outcome.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, if that increases the emphasis on health determinants, that's probably good.
It does.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other comments in this 1C area? And, you know, so it's pull out health determinants, remove clinical from intermediate, anything else in that area?
Yeah, I guess a couple of things. The footnotes, 4 and 5.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure that number 4 is really appropriate for what's in this right-hand column. And then number 5, it would be, I think, appropriate to reference the Guide to Community Preventive Services.
Okay. Oh, the structure one? Okay.
Yeah.
Will do. Yeah, I must admit, I never went back and looked at the footnotes.
Okay.
We'll clean that up.
And then under the next bullet where it says experience with care, could it be experience with intervention or strategy or something other than care?
Yeah, I was stuck. I honestly couldn't figure out what to call it. So your advice here would be helpful. Strategy, intervention, does that sound right?
This is where the aims that Ron referred to before play in, I think.
Okay.
Maybe it's not relevant. Maybe experience with care is not. I mean, experience with care is about experience with care, so maybe it's not relevant in population health.
Although it's interesting, I mean, one of the, you know, some of the recent measures we endorsed around child health quality came off the National Children's Health Survey, which were population level measures, and it was parental surveys about their access to referrals when they needed it, or access to, so things like that feel population health,
right?
Which is why I was trying to ask the question of whether sometimes is it also access. So I was, you know, some of those questions were actually more about experience getting access. Maybe it's just patient surveys and not worry about it.
Well, but I mean, I would add to that. I mean, I think access is key, as well as, you know, if you look at the ARC quality and disparities reports, they talk a lot about communication and understanding, and those really are population health-based measures that impact disparities differently.
Okay. All right, we'll play with that a bit.
So it's the notion of, I think the label is wrong, experience with care. The concept is a good one.
Yeah.
Is the measure something that's important?
Yep.
So we have to label it something differently.
Okay.
Some like, I don't know, it's almost like community value or I don't.
Or community voice or something? We'll think about it. Send us notes if you have ideas. I don't want to hold us up, but that's really helpful.
Okay. So, like, Kellen, you'll go back and look at the footnotes as well, so we don't need to spend more time on those.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So we're on to reliability and validity, and, again, this was a section that the full steering committee thought we should pay special attention to. You can see from the updates from our meeting that, you know, just changes were made as were suggested at the meeting as special things to pay attention to. Did anybody identify anything else in their review that we need to discuss?
Ron again.
We're now introducing the concept of community health as opposed to population health. Do we want to do that, or?
That was the term people use at the meeting, so that's why I threw it in here. But again, your thoughts would be welcome. I think this is one of those definitional issues we were still struggling with at the meeting. But the community concept was that it is that shared accountability, and maybe I just didn't capture it right.
But that is, I mean, and I don't know where you're going with this, but is our population and community used interchangeably? Is population considered, are communities considered different types of populations? So I guess it depends on what we think is the broadest term, and if population health is that, then maybe we just use that consistently through here. I don't know.
Whatever your preference, guys.
This is Sue again, and I do think we were struggling with that definition, and I don't use those terms interchangeably myself.
How do you use them?
Well, I'm sorry about that. When I am looking at population health, I'm more looking at patient registries, populations of diabetics. When I'm looking at community health, I'm looking at geography and neighborhoods and the health of my community. Does that make sense?
That makes perfect sense from a clinical point of view, yeah. And that's exactly the wrong, because I use those words very differently, which is exactly what our problem is with all these terms.
Right, yes. How do you use them, Paul?
I would say population health is a much broader concept.
Okay.
I.e. population may be the population of people within a jurisdiction, within a region, within states, within the nation. A community could either be a geographic location, or it could be a community of people who have qualities that are lumped in some way or affinities to each other within a larger population.
Okay.
So I don't think we've defined the word community. I think it's used to mean many different things.
And I like Paul's definitions better than mine.
Okay.
So
if I deleted community? What about if it's just accountability for health?
Well, what I'm wondering is, couldn't it just say across organizations or populations?
That would be so radically simple.
Well, the simplest thing is what someone just suggested, population or entities with shared accountability for health.
Yeah.
Remove community.
Right.
That was me. Okay. We'll try that for now.
Okay. And what's making me think further here is, you know, the statement about EHR measure specifications. Is there anything translatable, and I guess this is to you, Paul, and Kurt, who might be doing more population health stuff, is there anything similar we would need to consider on the population health side?
If this is implying that this should be limited to EHRs, that cuts out a lot of data.
Yeah, no, and I expanded it later. I think I may have missed it here. Later, as you'll see, I added in HIEs. I added in data sets without specifically being EHRs. We'll just say maybe allow for comparability across electronic specifications or something like that.
Well,
it may be beyond electronic. It could be survey. It could be...
This is specifically about EHRs, that they have to use the quality data model. So if there are going to be no population health measures based on EHRs, then we just take that out altogether.
Yeah, maybe for now.
Well, but I'm wondering, since it's also kind of used as an example, if, you know, something translatable is registries. And when you're talking about registries, I believe the nomenclature is HL7 criteria.
What if we drop this to a footnote?
Okay,
we'll figure that out.
Okay, so then we're on to 2A2, which is about testing, before we get into validity. So any other comments about reliability that we need to make sure is brought out in these criteria for population health measures? Okay, I think that makes perfect sense, because reliability and validity are standard, you know, definite statistical definitions that, you know, need to translate no matter what type of measure we're looking at. So anything in validity that needs to be strengthened or called out more when we are considering population health? I'm just wondering, under 2B3, should it say... Although clinical evidence is correct, I think makes sense on the population health side too. Just kind of noticing where we have clinical and make sure that it makes sense.
Or just remove it and say evidence.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
2B3.
Okay, anything else in validity, Ron?
Clinical. Just take out clinical.
Oh, cool.
Say evidence.
Excellent. Okay, so we're on to page 5 of 9 with 12 minutes to go.
The rest is easy.
And, you know, here we're still under validity, and this is where I can see clearly that the term patient has been pulled out on the population health side, and there was stronger preference or nomenclature around variation across populations, which is what we'd be looking for on the population health side. Anything else jumping out at anybody that needs to be
a couple of quick things and just to consider for 2B5 on the right-hand side, where you have measure for the identification and statistically significant and practically slash clinically meaningful. I'm wondering if we could potentially change that to measure, allow for the identification or statistically significant and meaningful differences
yeah.
in performance or variation across populations in improving health.
I like that.
Yep. And in doing that, you also remove the clinically piece, right?
Correct.
Okay, got it. Thank you. Perfect.
And I'm looking at 2C on disparities.
Mm-hmm.
If we could change that to say if health disparities and then get rid of in healthcare,
yeah.
if health disparities have been identified.
Okay.
Or health disparities in health, well, no. Yeah, just health disparities, I think, would work.
Okay. Assuming that would still capture health care disparity.
We're actually going to be taking that out of there anyway, remember.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
I told you we were moving faster.
Can you explain this, the OR on under 2C disparities?
Or.
No option for justification or lack of stratification.
We're going to be probably reworking this whole thing because we have a disparities group that's and we're really moving toward identifying measures that can be used to measure disparities versus in reality very few measures come to us specified for health disparities, and we're going to start looking at which measures should be identified. Helen, I don't know if you want to say anything more, but this criterion hasn't been working very well, so for some of the reasons you've talked about.
Let me just also say, having come from a rural environment, if in certain geographic areas, if we did stratify by race, we would be identifying people.
Right. Yeah, there's the small number issues you're talking
yeah.
about.
Yeah.
You know, and that can happen even in larger areas depending on what you're talking about. You know, if you're talking about rare events or rare processes, you know,
right.
you can
right.
have
right.
that issue for a variety of reasons. So I think we're actually going to be moving kind of taking this criterion out and working in whatever the disparities steering committee recommends.
Okay, so we are now into notes. And I think we've already talked about note number 8 that there are some other data sources that might be relevant for population health measures, and you know I think we've already indicated that needs to be worked on.
Yep. Okay.
Peter.
Any of in the notes?
Paul was just saying something about Peter Briss. What was that, Paul?
Yeah, no. I mean, Peter Briss or somebody working on the community guide could probably help us with other data sources and.
Okay.
Caveat.
I'll check with Peter. Actually, we'll send them the whole thing to look at. There we go.
Okay. So let's move on to usability. And I don't know. I'm going to defer to Karen and Helen to make comments on usability since that's out in public comment right now.
Yeah.
Right. Usability has been a challenge. Because we have more interest, of course, especially when measures come back for endorsement maintenance to see if they're actually being used as the true test of usability. And so we've had a task force working on this criterion, and we just posted their report for comment on Monday morning. And basically, the focus of the usability criterion as recommended by the task force is going to start with, in terms of measures that haven't been used before, kind of the hypothetical case for its usability for performance improvement or some accountability application, and then moving into, over time, getting evidence that it is in use and is making, that there is some evidence that performance is improving or health is improving, et cetera. So, you know, but the reality is right now, and I guess for the measures that will be coming into this project, the criteria that you see in front of you will be operational in terms of looking at the measures that come in.
Maybe not. We'll have to see on the calendar, okay. Because the board should be approving the updated language December 1st. So
right.
We actually might be able to
come okay.
And we'll see if we can make that work.
Right.
Well, let me, so as a next step for this group, for that, would it make sense that kind of an assignment would be that everybody goes out and looks at that and kind of, you know, kind of feeds information, whether it be to me or Elisa or whomever, on, you know, what our thoughts are based on what's out for public comment?
Yes, and actually you can comment on it for public comment. That would be useful, too, because there is a, you can just go to the report and enter your comments, but certainly.
I think Ron's got something. Ron, was that you?
No, it's Kurt. It's also probably worth taking a minute to think about what might be unique to measuring population health, and I think that the intended audiences are worth some thought. So rather than consumers, we might think community members, and we might want to think community and multi-stakeholder group leaders in addition to policymakers. So just broadening the sense of audience from the kind of the provider slash consumer audience.
Okay, any other comments there? Okay, so on feasibility, which is the next section, there have been, this is where it looks like Helen's really put some more information in about required data elements with personal health records, health information exchanges, population databases, et cetera. Anything as well as taking out patients, so it just says confidentiality is of particular concern with measures based on survey for small and for small populations. Any other concerns with feasibility?
And I'll check with Peter Britt on this section as well.
Yeah, under 4A, because it says for clinical measures, I just wonder if there's other things. I mean, that's the one where we may need to expand a little bit.
I just said it was not applicable. Do you want to even keep it there?
There certainly are routine data elements generated in population health, such as reportable diseases, immunization rates. I mean, you could even consider the YRBS or the BRFSS as a routine generation of data.
Okay. We'll think about that one. Okay. Just sensitive to time. We'll take a look at that.
Since we only have 3 minutes left, I guess does it make sense? Does anybody else have other concerns, or, you know, if anybody just wants to submit via email and we could say that we made it through?
Yeah, and the comparison, the competing correlation issue, obviously, please take a look at that language. That's where I think this whole issue of harmonized, competing, complementary, we probably need a little more thought on that. So if people want to write some comments on that, that would be useful.
And, I mean, I would be willing, if folks want to send, you know, any additional comments to me, if you want to send them to me, I'll be glad to pull them all together and get them back to Elisa and Karen and Helen.
Great. Sounds great. Thank you.
So, Elisa, I think it's back to you, and I'm giving you 2 minutes.
Oh, thank you very, very much. It's perfect time for us to go over our next steps.
As you know, tomorrow we're going to meet as a full committee, and the work group that met yesterday on the framework will report out to everyone, and many people that attended that group are also attending today, so that will be good. And then also this group will report out, and then we'll continue our discussions as a full committee. And as we mentioned earlier, we will probably follow up with any additional thoughts that you have via online forum, which would be email going back and forth with the group. And then we as staff will start drafting the call for measures, and we will circulate that to the committee for input, and it will be the full committee for input. So we haven't determined the dates yet, but we should have dates firmed up hopefully in the next couple of weeks.
So I don't know if this would be helpful or not, and I'm just going to suggest it, and if I'm turned down, that's fine. I just wonder if that once we have this next draft of evaluation criteria, it would make sense to have another call of this work group to then go kind of use it to go through, you know, one of the population health measures to see if things work and if we've identified everything.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. Depending on everyone's time, we can definitely schedule that, and I think it would be good to put it into practice for everyone. So I would be happy to schedule that.
I mean, I guess, and I think that's up to the work group, too, if they would find that useful or not.
You can follow up the email.
Yeah, we can follow up, yes, absolutely. So we could send out, similar to what we did for these work groups, we could send out a survey and see if folks would be interested, and then we can have some dates out there. We'll coordinate with you, Sarah, to see your availability, and Paul, and also Kurt.
Do we need to open for public comment?
We should. And operator, I think Tom?
Yes, ma'am.
I don't know if anyone on the public line has a comment they'd like to make at this time.
All right, let me open up their lines. And all their lines are now open at this point.
You coming?
Hello?
Yes.
This is Peggy Honoré with HHS.
Hi, Peggy.
Good morning to everyone. I'll be very brief with this. I most definitely concur with the members of the subcommittee working group this morning who noted the HHS quality aims as being appropriately listed in Section 1C, especially as it relates to outcome, process, and structure. We did categorize the 9 aims by those 3 categories, and I'll be happy to provide that to the committee if it will reinforce those suggestions.
Great. Thank you, Peggy. Appreciate it. Great. Okay. Great. Any other comments? It doesn't look like we have other comments, so I just wanted to thank everyone again for joining us today, yesterday, and tomorrow,
today,
and for all of your hard work. We really appreciate it, and we'll be talking to you tomorrow.
Great. Thanks, everybody.